One other prayer request that I think is very important. We need to pray for our country. We are at a very important crossroads coming up in the next few months. We are seeing the political process take place. And as Brother Gallagher said this morning, with the death of one of our Supreme Court justices, it's very important whoever gets to appoint his replacement has some conservative standards and some things that would be appropriate for this country. Really, probably more important than the presidency is the Supreme Court justices, that in the next few years, two or three probably will be replaced. And I certainly have not agreed with some of the decisions our courts have made, but you get it packed with liberal God-haters, you'll see the problems that come from that. So pray for our nation. Pray for the coming elections that are ahead. That I heard, I'm not sure, I think it was Rubio, he made a statement day before yesterday that as far as the election was concerned, he felt as though that whoever got it would be the choice of the Lord, because God controls it all. And I'm sure I don't agree with him on a lot of things, religiously or other ways, but he's got that right. And whoever becomes our leader, it doesn't take God by surprise. And do not pray that we get what we deserve. If we do, we are in trouble. Pray for God's mercy and God's grace. And pray that he will help our country. All right, this morning, if you would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Anybody having any problem hearing? Because we can crank it up. Everything okay? All right. Acts chapter 27. This will be the first Sunday morning message that I've preached since the 25th of October. That's been a long time. And I don't know, there's not been many times that I've stood behind a pulpit and be scared. But this is one of those times. Because I want to be able to portray, give the message, and I know the Lord will help. Acts chapter 27, let's begin reading in verse number 18. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." If you read back a few verses, Paul tells them they should not leave. But because things seemed well, the Bible says the south winds blew softly. The mariners, the captain of the ship, decided to leave. And so Paul tells them, said, you should have listened. Why should they have listened? Well, you'll find out here in this verse. He says in verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adrian, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that we drew near to some country, and sounded and founded 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and founded 15 fathoms. And fearing lest we should be, or should I fall upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had laid down or let down the boat unto the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Sunday night, a couple weeks ago, I brought a message on place that Jesus was needed. And if you remember, he was needed at the woman at the well, had so many issues in her life that Jesus must needs go to where she was. This morning, I want to sort of continue that thought of some places that Jesus is needed. Not only does he required at a place of a well where that woman had so many problems of her life. And Jesus, by the way, was the only one that could take care of those needs that she had. But here in these verses that we read this morning in chapter 27 of Acts, you'll find that these men of the ship, they needed the Lord. They needed the presence of God. And they could be thankful that there was a man on board ship that knew the Lord. And they certainly were very fortunate to have him. And so this morning, I want us to think upon the subject. This is another place that the Lord's needed. He is needed in the middle of the storm. And certainly we know people somewhere, some of our own family, that are in the midst of a storm. The storms come to us daily. Sometimes there are lifelong struggles. There are some people that struggle with certain things all their life, and they are approached by certain things that will affect their life, and it's a storm comes to them. Sometimes it's in the form of health. Sometimes it's in the form of family and finances that do not work right. Sometimes it's the job that God gives us. Sometimes it's the vehicles that the Lord has given to us. It's our homes, and the list could go on and on about the storms. The problems of life, the problems that come to everyone. None of us are immune to the storms. But I'm so glad this morning that we have one that can come in the midst of the storm and see us through it. Sometimes our storms are overwhelming. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know which way to go. And it seems as though every step we take is maybe a wrong direction. Maybe a wrong decision. It doesn't work like we think it will. It doesn't go forward like we want it to. And it's overwhelming to us. But the grace of God will help us to make it through, to get us through that storm and those overwhelming circumstances. Doesn't mean that will not be left with some scars, because we will. It doesn't mean that we'll not have bad memories, because we will have. It doesn't mean that we'll not lose or that the pain will always go away. But trusting in the Lord, we can and we will make it through the storm. Back in 1971, a man by the name of Andre Crouch, he wrote a song, recorded it, became very popular, and it is simply entitled, Through It All. And I have here some of the, have the words to that, and I wanted to read the verses and just think about the storms that come. He writes verse number one. I've had many tears and sorrows and questions for tomorrow. They've been many. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been lots of places, seen lots of faces. There've been times I've felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms. He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And then the chorus. Most of you all, you know that. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. How true those words are. And these men on this ship, they needed the Lord to show up. They needed the Lord to come and help them. And he did that through his preacher by the name of Paul. We need the Lord to show up in our storms. And I've just listed three or four things here that's in these verses, very simple, that we need the Lord in. Paul needed it. And you and I need the same thing. We need him in the storm, number one, to remind us. Just to remind us, verse 23, Paul says, whose I am. Sometimes we need to be, our memory needs to be jogged who really belongs, that we belong to. We need to come to a definite commitment in our life that I belong to him and he belongs to me. And verse number 23 here, Paul says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Here he is talking to these couple hundred of men that was facing certain death. And here Paul says, be of good cheer. Well, how could they have cheer? How could they have joy? How could they have that blessed peace in their heart when the waters are and the waves are beating against their ship and their ship is going to be broken apart and all they face and all they see is a storm-tossed sea before them? And here Paul comes to them in the midst of all of this and he says, be of good cheer. For there shall not be a loss of any man's life among you but the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of God. Notice here his next words, whose I am. Paul recognized and gave to them his personal relationship with God. He said, there stood by me the angel of the Lord tonight. I've been gone. I've been absent from you for a while. I know what Paul was doing. He was praying. I believe that with all my heart, because he was facing the same problem as those shipmen were. He was facing the same waves. He was facing the same dangers. But he had something reliable in his life that they did not have. And he said, there stood by me tonight the angel of the Lord. You know who that was? None other than Christ. There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am. He said, I belong to him. And so therefore, whatever comes Paul's way, he said, I can be of good cheer. Whatever happens in our lives, we can be of good cheer. And so we understand that we belong to the Lord. Therefore, I need God in the midst of the storm because I need to recognize I belong to him. I need to understand that he controls our life. As I said a while ago, sometimes the circumstances of the storm seem overwhelming to us. But it's in the middle of all that that we start to question and we start to wonder, we start to imagine, and the devil comes and brings such terrible thoughts to our minds and sometimes actions to our lives. And we just need to understand, I belong to the King. I belong to him. We need to remember, it's just a storm. That's all it is. We've had storms here. There's been times that we have left our house up there and we came down here because the storm was coming through. And the safest place on this property is right back there in the hallway by those bathrooms. And so we would come down here. One time we went back to the house and we had a whole window unit blowed in. Everything in one room was down the hallway. I'm glad I wasn't there. But you know what? That storm passed. Every storm that comes to us, it has an ending somewhere. And so we need to remember when the storms hit, we need to be as Paul did and realize there stood by me the angel of God whose I am. We belong to the Lord. The storm may seem like it's going to last forever. And I'm sure this storm probably thought it would never end. Because if you read, and I'm not going to take the time nor the energy to read the verses, but you'll find that they had 14 days with no sun. 2 weeks, no sun. 2 weeks, the storm. The storm is, it's even named. It's given the name there. And so we find that this storm, Euroclydon, it was upon them. And I'm sure they thought, is it ever going to end? But there's the time that Paul says, be of good cheer. Because the angel of God, whose I am, I belong to him. The Bible says in Psalm number 30, and verse number 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. The scripture says weeping may endure for the night, but what? Joy cometh in the morning. And so the storm comes, and I need to be reminded I belong to him. I need to be reminded, and we all need to be reminded that he hasn't forgot us. He hasn't rejected us. He hasn't said, I don't know what's going on. He knows what's taking place in our life, whatever it is. And if we're to go up and down the pews this morning, each one of us or each family has some kind of storm. We mention sometimes those storms in our prayer request. We call them requests, but what they really are storms. We've requested prayer for individuals. This morning, Brother Bud talked about the man that called him yesterday. That was a storm in his life. And I'm glad I was able to get Brother Bradley to go tell him the very message that Paul gave these folks, whose I am, and to lay the message to him And now, laying there in the middle of intensive care, critical care unit, he calls Bud and says everything's well. You know what that is? Be of good cheer. Barbara requests prayer for her aunt. That's a storm. I've heard different ones. Patty this morning, her mom, a couple weeks ago, was a real storm in her life. Still there. But it's passing. And there's help. Sharon's brother, in just a couple of weeks, a drastic change in his life. It's a storm. To me, my voice has been a storm. It still rages. But you know what? I know who I belong to. And I'm convinced he's going to take care of it through the storm, through it all. These men, 14 days, I'm sure they thought it's all over. But Paul said, the angel of God, whose I am. So we need to be reminded as to who we belong to and who we serve. We may fail, but Jesus never fails. We may be weak, but Jesus is strong. We may lose control, but he's under control. All around us, he's still ours, and we belong to him. Number two, we need to, in the midst of the storm, we need to understand, and we need to be reminded not only whose I am, but verse 23, Paul says also, whom I serve. Now, Paul, I'm sure, was the only Christian on this boat. And he said, God stood by me tonight. I can say good cheer because of who I am, whose I am, who I belong to. And I can say be of good cheer because of who I serve. We serve the Lord. I guess the underlying question of all of us would be, do we really serve the Lord? Or who do we serve? In the storms that come, we better be sure who we serve. And as Mike said this morning, a lot of folks, we never would imagine they look at us. But they know who to call when the storms come. They don't call their buddies and their friends that they've done all the things of life where they call somebody that they've watched because they know who you serve. Testimony. Paul knew what it was to serve a living God. God was standing with him. And so therefore he could say, fear not. Don't have a fear. Don't be afraid because I belong to him. And I serve him. And you know what that means? He's going to serve us. He's going to help us. Paul knew that this storm was going to be a testimony for the Lord. He said, nobody's going to die. Now, Paul's the only man on that boat that probably believed that. Why could he believe that? Because the Lord told him. Here these 200-odd men, some odd men are scampering around, they're lightening the ship, they're putting out their sounds to see how deep the water is. And they're doing all that in a frenzy because they're afraid they're going to die. But Paul says, we're not going to lose any life, just the ship. Isn't it amazing we know what's going to take place? Isn't it amazing we know the end story of what God's given us in His Word? We see all the problems of our country and of our world. And it's terrible and it bothers us. And it should bother us. But thank God I know the end of the story. I know the end result. I know who's going to win the victory. I know who's going to win the battle. Paul knew that as bad as this storm was, that the sun was going to shine again. He knew that it was going to be over. The S-U-N was going to shine because the S-O-N had already shined in his heart. Many times we want to walk away and quit and just give up. All of us do that. In these last few months, I thought I'm almost at the age of retirement. Just retire and forget it. We all go through that. But there's nowhere to quit. Because the storm will pass. Jeremiah 20:9, very familiar verse of scripture. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak of him anymore. Hear the great prophet of God, Jeremiah, says, I'm just not going to talk about God anymore. I'm not going to prophesy another word. I'm not going to say anything else about God. We get there. If you don't want to admit it publicly, you know personally you get there. Just forget it. But Jeremiah's statement does not stop there. He said, I'm not going to make mention. I'm not going to speak any more in his name. That's a period, but it's not the end of his thought. He goes on. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not stop. Even though I was weary, even though we haven't faced anything what Jeremiah faced. Go read his book. They put him in a pit in mire. They left him for dead. They pulled out his beard. Since my surgery, I've grown a beard. First time ever. I trim that thing up and sometimes that razor don't get it all just right and it pulls one. Wakes you up, doesn't it, Mike? But they plucked his beard because he's a man of God. And he said, I'm just going to quit. He said, but something in here keeps me from doing that. You know what it was? His word. So, that's who we serve. I need him in my storm to remind me we're going to make it. It's going to be okay for the child of God. Now my storm here may deplete my body and may destroy my flesh, but I'm going to make it because there is much better than here. The promise of heaven, the promise of our home. We sang this morning, got a mansion. Praise God. It's not just a room, it's a mansion. It's not just a dwelling place. It's a place he's prepared for us. And God doesn't build any little cabins over in the corner of Glory Land. And we don't climb up a ladder to get there. I hate some of those songs because they're not true. We have a place prepared for us. And the Lord's always given us the best. And guess what? Our place in heaven is the best. Nothing second rate. If you can walk on gold, can you imagine how beautiful heaven must be? What we hang around our necks and what we put on our fingers, that's very expensive. It's nothing more than the blacktop in heaven. Street of gold. That's the place we walk. It's the concrete, the blacktop. Doesn't mean too much. There's nothing precious out there on the blacktop. But he's built me a mansion. And so, we're going to make it. Not because of us, but because of him. Paul said, be a good cheer. We're not going to lose any bodies, any people. We're going to make it. And of course, you read the rest of the story. Guess what? They made it. And the sun did shine. Paul had the assurance of God that everything was going to be okay. You know why? You know why Paul could say, another reason he could say, be of good cheer, we're going to make it through. Because Paul had already been told by the Lord before he ever got on the ship at the beginning spot, you've got to go to Rome. You got to go, you're going to Rome. Paul's ticket was punched, he was going to be delivered. Be of good cheer. And then lastly, I need him in our storm. We need him in our storms to remind me in whom I believe. I believe God. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. See, he's already told them, fear not. He's already told them that the Lord had stood by him. And the only last thing Paul could say, I believe God. I believe what he says. I trust the Lord. Not only did Paul have God's promises, he chose to believe them. The world has the promises of God. But we that are saved, we have believed them. Somebody can say, certain things will happen, and we don't have to believe it. The Bible tells us certain things, how to get saved. We don't have to believe it, but you have to believe it to go to heaven. God doesn't make us robots. And so Paul says, in whom I believe. Another place Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. Thank God he's able. What good is it to have this book if we don't believe it? What good is it to preach it if we don't believe it? What good is it to read it? What good is it to quote it to others if we don't believe it? I believe God. In the darkest moments of life is when the light of God will shine the brightest. In every hurricane, we hear about them, hits our southern coast, hits our eastern coast. But every hurricane has an eye. And in that eye, there's a moment in the midst of the storm that the wind stops blowing. There's a moment that the clouds are gone. There's a moment that the sun shines. There's a while that there's a calm. Well, that ought to reassure us, because life is a storm. But in the midst of it, I can believe God. In the midst of it, I can serve God. In the midst of it, I can declare I belong to God. It has been said many, many times. We're in one of three places. You've heard it. You've heard it from preachers behind this pulpit. The three places that we are. We're in the storm. We're coming out of the storm or we're going into a storm. Sometimes we're in that eye. We've come out of it. But just a little while, the hurricane winds and rains and all those things start again. When one is over, there's another. Thank God one day the Lord's going to take care of the storm. And we will be delivered in our place because of who He is and who we serve. Let's stand together this morning.